All right, turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, familiar passage of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to begin reading at verse 1. Wherefore, saying we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. I want to preach this morning on what are you looking at? Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I beg you again today for the filling of the Holy Ghost of God, that as I preach, your word would go forth in power to every heart. God, I pray you'd give me clarity of thought, but also the listeners clarity of thought, to gather the truths from this passage of Scripture that you would have us to get for our lives. Deal with hearts, convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, I pray. And Father, we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was saved in the fall of 1971. That means it's been 42 years ago, coming up this fall, when I trusted Christ as my Savior. Now, with that in mind, at that time, a number of things were settled for good. He gave me eternal life. He gave me the promise of His presence. He gave me a new purpose in life. He gave me forgiveness of all of my sins. He gave me the destiny of an eternity with Him. But when He saved me, He kept me here. For all these years and days, I was figuring it out yesterday, that from the time I got saved, it's been over 15,300 days. Now think about that. Over 15,000 days ago, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And out of those 15,000 plus days, some have been very delightful. Some have been joyful. Some have been fun. But out of those 15,000 plus days, some have been very, very difficult. Some of them have been full of struggles. Some of them have been full of disappointments and defeats, along with a few victories. Now, anybody who gets saved, you've experienced that if you've been saved for any length of time at all. How in the world are you going to make it day after day after day in your walk? Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. When He saves you for good. But every day's not a good day. Every day's not a fun day. And some of the days are full of struggle. Some of the days are full of heartache. How are you going to make it? Well, the writer of the book of Hebrews is writing to a group of people who had trusted Christ as Savior, but they were going through persecution at this time. Some were even thinking about turning back. The struggle had gotten so great. And so he writes to these people to remind them of a few things throughout the book. But he gets down to this passage and he reminds them of the stadium. Notice he says in verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." Now, I didn't read chapter 11, but chapter 11 is what is commonly known as the Hall of Faith, where there are a number of people whose names are mentioned that through faith they accomplish certain things for God. Near the end of the chapter, through that same faith, there were some people who did not see victories, but instead they were torn apart, they were tortured, they were sawn asunder, and they received a better resurrection. How in the world did they make it day after day after day? And then he says to us, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, those people that have gone on before us, and they face struggles far worse than most of our struggles. They faced days that were more often filled with persecution and trouble than what we have had to face. And yet through faith, they did exactly that. They were in the game then. We're in the game now. And now they're looking down on us to see how we run the race. Matter of fact, yesterday there were football games on just about every channel that was out there, it seemed. And I remember just seeing for a minute one particular game, don't have the slightest idea which one it was, but the cameras panned on several former players that were there on the sidelines. They're not eligible to play now. They played in some cases a decade or so ago, in other cases just a few years ago. They had their time when they were on the field. They had their time to make of their time something that would count, but no longer. Now they're just watching others play the game. Their time out on the battle of the football field is gone, and now they're the spectators in the stadium. And the point that's being made here is those Christians that have gone on before us, suffering the persecution, going through the trials and the hardship, they're now looking down on us as we're in the game and seeing how we're doing. So he talks about the stadium. Then he talks about the struggle. He said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. You see, we could go through that list in chapter 11 and we would find a number of people who, yes, they struggled with different things. They had weights in their lives that hindered them, that kept them from accomplishing some of the things that they could accomplish. In some cases, it was sin, like the mighty Samson, and the sin that he allowed in his life and definitely limited the victories that he could have had, had his life been right with God. And he says, seeing that those people are now around us and watching us, he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. There are struggles. So not only does he say, look at the stadium and look at the struggles, but look at the strategy. You know what I mean to say. Good. Now, you could be up here and have to do this. Here's the way we do it. Well, why does that happen? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. See, if you're going to make it through this and come out right, he says, look unto Jesus. How can we make it day after day in the sunshine and the shadow and the heat and the cold, in the pleasant days and in those that are filled with tragedy and heartache? He gives three words, looking unto Jesus. Now, the word looking has the idea of staying focused. I know one thing about those football teams that were out there yesterday. Many times their coaches had to say to them, focus. Stay focused. Don't lose focus. You have a good run, that's fine. But now stay focused, because now you got to worry about the next one. You caught a great pass, fine. But you stay focused. Now you got to worry about the next one. It has kind of the idea of the marathon runner who's run for 24 miles and his body is aching and he is hurting. But he is now to stay focused. There's a finish line down there he needs to get to. He can't spend his time looking at the crowds. He can't spend his time thinking about the aches and the pains that his body's going through after 24 miles of running. He has to stay focused on that finish line. It is a matter of looking unto Jesus, focused on him. Focused on him in his person. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Focused on him because of his passion. He endured the cross, despising the shame. Look what Jesus did to the very end, all so that you and I could have eternal life. And also focused on him for his position. He is set down at the right hand of God the Father. You see, Jesus is our example. And we are to look unto Jesus. What are you looking at today? I want you to notice with me three elements to properly look upon Jesus. Number one, we ought to look unto Jesus in the scriptures. We need to understand who he is. There are just too many people, their whole idea of Jesus is something they've made up in their own mind. They've not gone to the scriptures to find out what Jesus is like. They've made up a Jesus, in some cases fashioned after that painting of Jesus with long flowing hair, rather sissified in his actions, and not caring much about anything. That's not Jesus. We need to look unto Jesus of Scripture. Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 39, search the Scripture, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. You see, the Bible tells us all we need to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 7, we learn about the motive of Jesus when he says, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Jesus' greatest desire, Jesus' greatest mission, Jesus' greatest motive was to do the will of the Father. We need to look unto him in his royalty. In John 1:1, the Bible proclaims, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." That's Jesus Christ. He is God. The Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah 9:6, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." He is God. Look upon him in his royalty. Who are we talking about? Turn back for a moment to the book of Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, and we see him in his return to the earth. You'll notice in beginning in verse 11, the scripture says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." Go down to verse 16. "And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." You see, when we're talking about Jesus, we're not simply talking about some religious figure. We're not talking about some special man. We're not even talking about earthly royalty here. We are talking about the King of all kings. We're talking about the Lord of all lords. He is God. Yes, he's the great physician. And yes, he's the Rose of Sharon. And yes, he is the bright and morning star. And yes, he is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But he is King, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So we look on him in his royalty. We also look on him in his righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Bible says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." He is the perfect Holy One who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. In 1 Peter 1:18, "So that he could be the sacrifice for our sin." The Bible says, "For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." You know where the Bible proclaims of us, "There is none righteous, no, not one." He was the righteous one. And it is his righteousness that we need upon us in order to get to heaven. Your righteousness will never do. Only his righteousness works. And the Bible proclaims that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. He's the key. When we look on Jesus in the scriptures, we see him in his royalty. We see him in his righteousness. We see him in his redemption. Bible says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin." We were sold into sin. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. That is what we deserve. But God went to the cross of Calvary through Jesus Christ, shed his blood to pay our sin debt so we could be redeemed from sin and death. That's why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." We need to see him, looking at him in his redemption provided for us, and looking unto him in his resurrection, because he conquered death, hell, and the grave. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture." He arose. The tomb is empty. Praise God. He lives. And as he told his disciples before he even went to the cross, "Because I live, ye shall live also." You say, "Preacher, how do you know that Jesus Christ Christ could give you eternal life because he conquered death. He conquered hell. He conquered the grave. He came out bodily from the dead. He told the Jews back in John chapter 2, he said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up. Now the Jews thought he was talking about that magnificent temple that had been built by Herod. And they said, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? The next verse says, but he spake of the temple of his body. Jesus raised himself from the dead. As the songwriter wrote, I serve a living Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living. No, whatever men may say, he lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me. He talks with me. A long life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. In the book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You got to believe he came out of that grave, that he was justified, we are justified in him by his death. And in his resurrection, it is a complete gospel message that he gives us. By the way, as we look unto Jesus in the scriptures, we see not only his royalty, we not only see his righteousness, we not only see his redemption and his resurrection, but we also see his return. For the scripture says this, the Bible says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming back. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, he says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Jesus Christ is coming back for us. Praise the Lord. How do you know that? Bible tells me so. Just like that song we sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Well, guess what? Jesus is coming back for me, and this I know because the Bible tells me so. You see, he's going to be the returning Savior to catch his children away. What a marvelous truth. Now, just those things about Jesus, looking at him in the scripture, looking unto that Jesus, we can make through the tough days. We can make it through the hard times. We can make it through the temptations and the trials and all of that. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We also need to look unto Jesus in the Spirit. What do you mean? According, for instance, his teachings. The Bible says this about Jesus after preaching the Sermon on the Mount. The Bible says in Matthew 7, 28 and 29, it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. The Jews had sent some soldiers out to arrest Jesus in John chapter 7. And they came back without him. And they queried these soldiers. They said, why didn't you bring him back? And they said, never man spake like this man. Oh, this man spake wonderful truth. He taught about heaven and he taught about hell. And everything he taught was truth, for he is truth. He knew all about it. He wasn't some philosopher who sat back and dreamed up some things in his head to give things that people like to hear. He even told his disciples in John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I'd have told you. He wasn't saying things just to make us feel good. He was telling us the truth. And everything he said about heaven was true. It's a wonderful place. No more sin, no more death, no more sorrow. What a wonderful place to be. Hallelujah. No more suffering. But everything he said about hell was true as well. He's the one who told the story about the rich man that died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes being in torment and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. Jesus told that story. Jesus told the truth about how to get to heaven and how to avoid hell. He said, he that hath the Son, or he said this in John chapter 3, verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. He said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He said in John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, Jesus gave us the scripture in his teachings. He taught us about salvation. He taught us about God's word. How important is this book? How important is it? Well, Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, I know visitors come sometimes and they notice that we read the King James Version of the Bible. You say, why do you do that? Well, I'll tell you why we do that. We do that because this is the one English version of the Bible that was translated word for word. You see, I don't want what some translator thinks God's talking about and puts that in there. I wanted a translator that gave me what God said. This book gives what God says. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Someone says, but I like the New International Version. But they leave parts of whole verses out. They leave all kinds of words out. I want every word, Jesus said. See, I believe what Jesus said. He taught us about the scripture. He said, think not that I come to destroy the law and the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. Verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law. Jesus stood up for God's word. In John 17:17, he said to the Father, thy word is truth. Jesus believed God's word. By the way, if any of it's wrong, he can't be the Christ. He believed it all. It's all God's word. Thank the Lord. He taught us in his teachings about the word of God. Search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. But they are they which testify of me. Not only that, to his testimony as well. Said in John 15:26-27, when the comforters come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Do you realize this book right here was given to us by the Holy Spirit of God? The Bible says, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That Holy Spirit of God is the one who teaches us about the Son of God, that he is God himself, who took upon himself flesh to die on the cross to pay our sin debt so that we could have eternal life. And the Bible tells us that John the Baptist, who was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb, gave testimony to the truth of who Jesus is. If you turn back a few pages to John chapter 5, the Lord Jesus speaks of John the Baptist. Strategy. Finally said it. I've been thinking about that till now. I didn't see a good place to put it in, so I just thought I'd put it in there while you're turning. John chapter 5, verse 31. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bear witness unto the truth. But I receive not the testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself which has sent me hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. You see, the word of God, the Spirit of God who gave us the word of God, bears witness that this Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah that he had prophesied through the centuries. So much so, when Peter's preaching in Acts 10:43, he says to him, that's to Jesus, give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Looking unto Jesus in the scripture. Looking unto Jesus in the spirit. And then looking unto Jesus in a sacrifice. Say, what do you mean? Well, we need to look away from our sin. The Bible says this, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from us. How'd he do that? Well, the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verse 5. He, Jesus, was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Or again, 1 Corinthians 15, 3. That I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sin according to the scriptures. Or if you turn back a couple pages from Hebrews chapter 12 to Hebrews chapter 10. And verses 11 and 12. The scripture says this. It says, and every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering, oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, that's Jesus, but this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Yes, my sins had me condemned. My sins had me earning the wages of sin, which was death. But thank God, Jesus Christ paid for them all. I need to look away from my sins, looking unto Jesus. And I need to look away from myself. You know, we think we're pretty hot stuff. Not according to God. He says, for I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Romans 8:8 says, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Isaiah 64:6 says, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. All those good things that we think we do to go to heaven. Listen, before I got saved, I used to think one day I'd stand before God and God would put all my good works on one side, all my bad works on the other side of this great scale in heaven. And my good works were so good. I was a good guy. I mean, man, I didn't run around. I didn't drink. I didn't carouse. I didn't do any of that stuff. I didn't do a lot of stuff that Christians shouldn't do. I didn't do that either. I'm a pretty good guy. I knew some Christians that were in a mess of things. And I didn't do any of that. I thought, surely, my good works will outweigh the bad. I found out in the Word of God that all those good works were nothing. They were filthy rags. They did not satisfy God. That Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. I needed to look away from myself and look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. He is the one who authored it. And by the way, you don't finish it. He does. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless in the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, looking unto Jesus in his sacrifice. For that verse in Hebrews 10:12, but this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sin forever. You know, the Apostle Paul was so caught up in that. He said in Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Of all places, he wrote that in a jail cell. He'd been arrested for simply proclaiming the gospel that Jesus Christ is the only Savior and telling people how to get born again. He was arrested and put in jail. At that time, he'd been incarcerated about 4 years, 2 years at Caesarea and the other 2 years at Rome. And he says, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Here was a man looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of his faith. 1 John 4:14 says, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Yes, this one who is King of kings and Lord of lords, he is my Savior. There are going to be some difficult days. And we are surrounded in the stadium by that incredible number of witnesses who've gone on before. They've had their times with the Lord. They've had their walk with God. They've seen victories. They've seen hard times. They've seen tragedy. And they've stuck to Jesus. And now it's our turn on the field. And what are they witnessing in us? You say, it's sometimes, preacher, it is so hard. I know. Look unto Jesus. Look unto your King. The King of kings and the Lord of lords. This too will come to pass. The time is coming when we'll be in the stands looking down on others. I know it's hard. Look unto Jesus. Look on those that have gone before. That's what they did. They looked unto Jesus, and that was enough. And it ought to be enough for us too. So say, preacher, what's the wrap-up of that? Well, number one, if you're not saved, you need to come to Christ and be saved. For He is the only Savior. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The church can't save you. The preacher can't save you. You can't save yourself. The only one who can save you is Jesus Christ. Turn to Him and be saved. Philippian jailer fell down before Paul and Silas and cried, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You trust Him. You say, well, preacher, I've trusted Christ as Savior. Well, what satisfies you today? What were you living for today when you got up? Did you get up today thinking, you know, I want this day to count for Jesus? If it's tragedy that comes, if it's heartache that comes, if it's trouble that comes, or if it's delight that comes and joy that comes, either way, I want this day to glorify Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. Life's going to bring some real hard times to you. Some of you have already been through some. And one testimony that I have seen consistent among believers, that it's during those really hard times that you get to know Him best of all. We don't like hard times, do we? We don't like heartache. We don't like trouble. But I'll tell you what, we find out during heartache and trouble, His promise to never leave us or forsake us is always true. So the songwriter wrote, I thank Him for the mountains. I thank Him for the valleys. I thank Him for the storms that He brought me through. For if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that He could solve them. I wouldn't know what faith in God could do. Looking unto Jesus. What are you looking at today? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Every head bowed, God's people praying. Father, thank You for such a wonderful Savior. Thank You for that marvelous gift of eternal life that You give to all that put their faith and trust in the Son of God. Lord, now deal with hearts today. You know every heart here. You know who has trusted Christ as Savior and who hasn't. I pray, dear Father, for those that have not received Your free gift of eternal life, that they'd come to Jesus and be saved. But I don't have any doubt, Lord, there are some believers here going through some struggles right now where they seemed almost overwhelmed. May they turn their eyes on Jesus and find strength. Find comfort, find the help they need in facing another day. God, have Your way in every life, I pray today. In Jesus' name.